August 7, 2021. It's the Watt for Pedro Show. Pedro Show. Happy, you can tell all the noise that I'm not man alone. Happy Saturday. Yep, through the wonders of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype invention. I got Michael from Beatnik Party. Welcome aboard, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And the name of the town?
I'm in Coolidge, Arizona.
Coolidge, which is near kind of Tucson.
No, it's about
I'm not
halfway
Tucson,
between
Tempe.
It's about halfway between Tucson and Phoenix. It's in the middle of nowhere. Okay.
I know on that road there, it's I-10.
We're not off the freeway. That's how middle of nowhere we are. We're off the old highway that people used to take back before the freeway to go from Phoenix down to Tucson.
Okay. Yeah, the big house is Casa Grande.
Yes, we're right, we're about 2 seconds from the Casa Grande ruins.
Okay, because there's a famous Meat Puppet 7-inch with that name. but let's get to your story.
For sure, yeah.
I know you're not a native Arizona guy, right?
No, born in Long Beach, California.
Strong Beach, right across the harbor here from Pedro.
Yes, sir.
And I used to be a meter man in Long Beach. in the late 70s, I wrote a poem about it. I never gave a damn about the meter man.
Meter man.
Till I was the man who had to read the meters, man.
That's right.
I had a lot of time to think about it. It was during the solidarity thing, I remember. Lech Walesa? Can't remember exactly. But there were a lot of changes going on those days. And it was my first union job. I made $6.10 an hour. You know, this is up from $1.20 washing pots and pans at the hospital. But you had to go in people's yards, so that was scary. But anyway, your story.
Yeah,
Michael, please bring your earliest musical. Oh, no, I should tell people first what we listened. We heard John Coltrane with Kenny Burrell doing Why Was I Born, which is a pretty good question. And then Beatnik Party With Me Punker, which is a song I wrote for the Minuteman. I was kind of solicited by... we got power people, Dave Markey and Jordan Schwartz, to write a song for their zine, and so I did. And we recorded it, and this is when we used to practice in Long Beach, West Long Beach, like around Santa Fe Avenue, with Secret Hate, an outer circle, long time ago. But anyway... Please bring your earliest musical recollection, Michael, please.
Oh, absolutely, sir. The first thing I can remember is doing a recording for my mom, actually. She'll play it all the time as a real little kid, of You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. So I remember that, singing with my mom.
Is that Stevie Wonder?
What's that? You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine? That song? Yeah.
Am I thinking of Stevie Wonder? You Are the Sunshine of My Life. No, it's different.
No. This is the old.
Yeah, it's
You
old
Are My
that.
Sunshine,
yeah,
My Only Sunshine.
Right.
It sounds about like that, too, on the recording. But I remember doing that, and then we sing The Letter by the Box Tops when we were cleaning up the kitchen and stuff like
Alex
that.
Alex Chilton. And he's a teenager.
Yeah. So that was my mom's favorite, that buy me a ticket on an airplane.
Right. He had, for a teenager, a pretty older man's voice. Yeah, I'm thinking of Stevie Wonder. It's one of those summertime songs, you know. What an idiot. Why? Okay, so now in Long Beach, there where you grew up, was there musical instruments, Michael? Because I want to find out how you got on the fucking bass.
Oh yeah, for sure. I stayed in Long Beach for a while until the early '80s, and folks headed out to West Covina, you know, to get away from the big city. And that house had a bigger house, a bigger space, and my mom got like one of those electric organs that everyone had back in the '70s. Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah,
then we also had like a big piano that no one ever played. So I remember messing around that a little bit. But my grandpa stayed with us for a little while, and he played an acoustic guitar, and he was kind of a bit of a beatnik. He played his acoustic guitar and read a lot of philosophical books and things like this, and stay out in the desert and stuff. So I watched him play guitar a little bit, but I didn't get my first musical instrument until I was about 10, I think, and I finally talked my mom into renting me an acoustic guitar from, and that was back when we lived in Cerritos, actually. So I went out to West Covina for a while, and then my parents split up, and we moved back to the Long Beach in Cerritos, Lakewood area, over there off of Ortega,
South Street. I don't think people know that the original name of Long Beach was Cerritos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because it's all, right, it's all Spanish and all this, and Long Beach is a name from, there was a Long Beach in New York, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, can I ask you, so you get on your first instrument when you're 10 on acoustic guitar. But did you do any shit at school, like the marching band or the choir?
In school, I was into, no, I did not. In school, I was more, by the time 7th grade turned around, I started getting into drama and theater.
Okay.
So I started doing that. Let me ask you,
first album you bought with your own money, Michael.
I don't know. I knew you were going to ask that, too, because I listened to the show.
It's okay.
The first album I remember buying was something my dad bought for me. It was Disco Duck, that Rick Dees record.
Yeah, the reason why I asked with your own money, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So.
Right. And then I was just thinking, the first thing I probably bought, it might have been one of those Columbia House deals where you send
it. Oh, yeah, a dime, and you get
it. Yeah.
I did that, but it was with 8-tracks, Michael. Okay, you know Michael, what I mean? What was the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig I went and saw was Boston on their third stage tour at the L.A. Forum.
Okay.
But the first gig I paid my own money for was seeing Dramarama and Dred Zeppelin and Big Drill Car
at UCI. Dramarama. Roddy was friends with them, so Roddy on the Rock. Roddy Bingenheimer. I think they're New Jersey guys, right?
Yeah, they're really cool. They're really nice guys, yeah.
One of the guys end up making a move. He called him the mayor of Hollywood or some shit, right?
Yeah, that was the bass player. That was
real strong cologne, or cologne, they say in Pedro.
Cologne.
We say every fucking thing wrong. No, we don't say everything wrong. We don't say tortillas. We don't say jalapenos. We don't say fried joles. We don't even say mojave. But we do say Tucson. Look, okay, Dramarama is your first gig. And who's opening for him?
First it was Big Drill Car opened the show.
Oh, yeah, I remember those cats. Kind of like Descendants,
Yeah, for sure. And then after that was Dred Zeppelin. And that was
they were kind of reggae. They were interesting, yeah.
Yeah, the bass player was wearing a bong the whole
Tort
time.
Elvis, right? A guy named Tort Elvis. And he was huge, yeah. Okay, so when you get that acoustic guitar, do you take lessons, Michael?
Yeah, well, I tried to take lessons for a bit. It was a big old acoustic guitar, and it was probably about 10 or so, maybe 11. And I kept trying to talk my mom into getting an electric one, so it hurt my fingers real bad, you know, because it was a real big acoustic kind of bit, a guitar. I don't know if it's classical or what, but we couldn't afford it at the time. And then my Aunt Pat, she came to town and she bought me some tapes and took me to in Lakewood Mall there and took me to the music store. I forget what it's called, but and she got me a little drum pad and some drumsticks. And then I started going to town on the drumsticks.
Oh, wow. Okay. Kind of like a practice pad?
Yeah, exactly. One of those Remo practice pads and some Vic Firth drumsticks, I remember. And I was a little psyched on that. And so we lived in the apartment, so I could play on those. And it didn't hurt my fingers much.
And you're not really jamming with your buddies. It's man alone.
Yeah. This is like 6th grade, 7th grade.
Okay. But does it point come where you start, you know, I'm not talking after school, like graduate, but afternoon, you know, the garage band, the apartment band, the basement band.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I lived in Long Beach for a while, and then 7th grade, my mom, she bought a place out in Temecula. So then we moved out to Temecula, and there that's when I got an electric guitar.
You know, a bass man we lost in Temecula, Andy Frazier.
Oh, wow.
From Free. Remember that band Free?
I'm not familiar with
big
them. Is that the old band from the 70s?
60s. Yeah, their big song 60s. Was All Right Now, Paul Rogers.
Okay, yeah. Now you say that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And there's this bass part at the end. Boo, 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 boo. That's Andy Frazier, and his last days were in Temecula. So up there you start playing with people?
Yeah. I was in freshman year of high school, one of the older kids, he had a band, and he found out I had an electric guitar. And he said, hey, man, I need a bass player. Why don't you go ahead and trade this in and get a bass, and we can have a band together. So I said, all right.
That's who you blame for the bass. What was his name, Michael?
His name is Alan Ng. Alan Ng.
You should thank him. What?
Yeah,
for sure. A Vietnam guy?
No, I think it was Mandarin. His parents owned
a
local Chinese restaurant in town. So that was a great bonus to have him being in a band with him. Is we'd go to his parents' restaurant
and good
they just load us up. Yeah, they just load us up for days.
That's good. Now, you guys, did this band have a name?
Yeah, it was called Just the Buzz.
And did Just the Buzz do gigs?
Yeah. Well, you know what the happening is, I was playing the bass with us. I was playing the bass with Alan and this guy Chris Benway on the drums, and we wanted to play the talent show, so we did that. And then they said, Mike, you're not very good at the bass because I just started, you know. But like you're singing and stuff. So then we got a quote unquote real bass player who was like a junior, and then I started singing in the band. And then I got kicked off the bass, and I had to become the singer. And that's when we started playing live, and I was a singer. And we played like in Montclair.
You never gave up bass. Montclair, what, like the green door?
Yeah, the green room. The green door. Yeah.
It's a parking lot now. Of a mall.
Yeah. We played there in the Metaphor Cafe in Escondido, and I think that's enough.
Inland Empire. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's because we're in vernacular, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I understand, Michael. I want to play Skate or Die.
Okay, cool.
that, we have no personnel at each of our positions. So, you know, free to engage, over.
I will be engaged. Roger, go ahead.
I can't get them down because they're behind that building.
Hey, but that's Delta.
We got an RPG.
All right, we got a guy with an RPG.
Come on, fire.
Okay, hold on.
Let's come on. We got a building right now from our point of view.
Roger, look at where it's coming from.
Once you get on, just open on.
Yeah, Roger. I see your element. You got about 400 feet along this your flare.
All right, firing.
What's the baseline? Let me know when you have it. Once you light them all up.
Come on, fire.
Go! You make me surrender my soul. You never thought you'd grow to be bold. We never let the nights get much too cold. You make me. Oh, baby, won't you realize behind your eyes? Oh, baby, won't you realize behind your smile? You make me surrender my soul. I never thought you'd become too cold. We always left the aches to be sold. You make me.
Pedro, show that chunk of music we just heard. Beatnik part. Well, didn't hurt just because they started that chunk off. Skate or Die. Then part A2, this second part of Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask, Volume 2 from Bronze Age UFO in Baltimore, Maryland. Slang from Hokkaido, Japan with Apocalypse Now. Nathaniel Mellers with Irrigating Hell. Dwayne of Darkness from Sam Locke Ward, featuring Ryan Werner out in Iowa City. Bob Bucko from nearby Dubuque. Bob Bucko Jr. Mishima. Yukio Mishima. He's probably talking about the office. Closing. God, what a trippy life that cat is. Bombas Prendon after that. That Girl Smokes. Pet Bottle Ninja with Tiny Sonata. B-Noll, brand new. Surrender My Soul out of Ohio. Rang Kap Thuy Collective. This is out of Vietnam. Aztec Glue is the tune. See, It's You, Always, from Variat, brand new. Tom Rechion with Shut Eye Train. Sorry, Tom. And then finally, Rock On. Well, it's a cover from Beatnik Party of a David Essex tune, which is, you know, got a lot of bass, so it makes sense. In fact, I don't even think there's drums on the real one. It's just some kind of trippy, maybe a synthesizer, but mainly a bass going through. It might be Herbie Flowers, who's the guy who did the bass for Walk on the Walk. Actually, there's two basses, a stand-up and an electric. Both glissed in opposite directions. Walk on the Wild Side, Lou Reed. Okay, Jenner, please bring your earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory, as far as, like, enjoying music?
No, just music, period.
Yeah, okay. I had a little suitcase record player when I was a wee little one, and I had a Grease record that I listened to constantly.
Is this Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta one?
Yes, that's the one. Oh my gosh, was a big fan. I would sing that song. I would sing to that record in my room. Yeah, you bet.
Okay. That's a good memory. I remember that was fucking huge. It probably led to that Happy Days shit. I remember my pop, when that series came on, my pop said, boy, those were not happy. I guess it's relative, right? Nostalgia, always that kind of way. Okay, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Arizona. Okay, for the most part. I've lived all over the Pacific Northwest, but yeah, I grew up in Arizona.
What part?
And, when I was really little, Yuma, Arizona, and then Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, the old town. College town, right? Nowadays, but it's the original Arizona town. Everybody thinks about Phoenix, but that ain't so old, really. Kind of invented it right out of nowhere. So in this pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
My dad played guitar a little.
Oh, great. So there was a guitar in the pad?
Yeah.
Did you jump on it?
Not really, no. I tried to, but it hurt my fingers because I have very small hands.
Okay, that's okay. You know what's right. You know what's right. Yeah. So what about school? Like I asked Mike.
School, I played clarinet in fifth grade. And I played with the flute a little, and I played, like, hand drums. I was really into percussion.
Okay, is that how you got onto the, because you end up a drummer lady, right? So how'd that happen?
How that happened? Well, yeah, I was into percussion. The first drumming I really did, like, super, I knew I really loved it, was actually Rainbow Gathering in Joshua Tree. California desert when I was a teenager in high school.
Like kind of drum circle stuff?
Yes, exactly.
So like you're kind of learning by playing with other people.
You bet, yeah.
Yeah, great.
100%.
Now do you graduate, whatever, you evolve into like trap set and playing in rock bands?
No, not at all. I started playing with Michael. I had a stand-up kit. I had a cocktail kit.
Right.
And,
we should tell the listeners
congos.
About these things because they were made for little tiny stages, usually for duets, so they wouldn't take that much room. And it was like a big, tall tom-tom, and the bottom was actually the kick drum.
You bet, yeah. That's what I had. And I actually ordered one and ended up getting two. And I had a couple cocktail sets. I wouldn't use them together, but, you know, I have. So I used that for a super, super long time. And then.
But you don't get on that. You don't get on a set, you know, besides hand drum until you start playing with Michael.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Can you remember the first gig you played with Michael where you're on a drum set?
I think so. Yes, I think I remember. Was it in Washington? I think it was in Washington. Yeah, I lived in Washington State. What's that?
When you guys lived in Olympia?
Yes, when we lived in Olympia, correct.
Okay, and how was the gig? Was it scary?
It was exhilarating. I really had a good time, and I can't remember. Lavoyer, I want to say, is the name of the club.
Okay. I mean,
in Olympia that we played at, and it was really cool. They were, I loved the atmosphere there. It was really cool.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it was the home of the Riot Girl.
Yeah, absolutely. That was really cool.
The Riot Girl movement, I should say. So bands like Bikini Kill and Slater Kinney.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Bumbershoot. I saw Slater Kinney at Bumbershoot and Motorhead.
And who else? Donna Dresch had that team dress.
Lou Reed. We saw Lou Reed at Bumbershoot in Seattle when I was there.
That's
amazing.
A little different than Ride Girl. But
yeah, sure, for sure, yeah.
So was that gig you did with Michael in Olympia, was that a beatnik party gig?
Yes, it was a beatnik party gig.
So it must have been the first one then.
As far as I can recall, I think that was our first gig together.
Because I was going to get to the part where how you guys started and stuff like that. So in a way, Beatnik Party is like your first kind of band you were in?
Yeah, exactly. Michael's been doing Beatnik Party for, it was kind of going before me. So, I just joined later on.
So you're not part of the building of the Beatnik Party. You joined
it was impossible to keep the drummer.
Okay. So with the wife aboard, it's a little more stable.
Exactly.
Right. But before that, you just had that cocktail set?
Correct. Yeah, I'd never I wasn't in any other bands or anything.
You were playing standing up then.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. The guy in the Street Cats did that, but I think just with the snare and shit.
And so does the guy from the Violent Femmes.
That's right.
Yeah, he's amazing. That guy's an amazing drummer.
But they couldn't hold on to him either.
Right?
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. August 7, 2021 edition of Why Pedro's Show special guest beatnik party. Hold tight for hour two. August 7, 2021. It's the second hour of the Why Pedro Show.
Sentirai innamorato come non lo sei.
for Pedro show started the second hour off a beatnik party doing Ride in an Ambulance. Scary. Then we had King Champion Sounds with Dietmar Wertmann band New Bathus. That's the name of the tune. Lucas Abella from Sydney with Bojinx. Totala from the Italian part of Switzerland, huh? Near Lugano. I've been thinking this band was called E, but that's the label, four E's. I didn't even know how to fucking pronounce it. So when I found the dude for Televasco, I asked him. He said, no, no. Totala, you know, everything. That's the name of the band. E, that's the name of the label. So the last couple times I played them people, I fucked up. So, scoozy. Then we had finally Beatnik Party with Pyramid Song. Okay, so we heard Michael Jenner told us about the first Beatnik Party gig, and I guess it was a success there in Olympia. No, it sounds like it was. They didn't throw shit, right?
I think that's the first time we played with Jenner. I played with a few other cats.
That's right. Okay. Drunk. Yeah, that's right. Beatnik Party with Jenner's first gig is Olympia. Beatnik Party's actually a band before she comes on board.
Yeah, well, it's actually a recording project, man. What happened was, I don't know if you want to get back into it or not.
Yeah, get into it. Bring it.
Yeah, but after that first band, Just the Buzz, it was with this guy, Alan, who's a senior, right? So out in Temecula, he goes away to college, and there's no band anymore. And then the next year, I met Jenna actually at a Denny's restaurant. She came in with me and my three buddies were starting another band, which turned out to be called Jonestown Julep. And then we had that band, and so I did that in high school for a bit. And so we played like at the Whiskey and Spanky's, and it was more of a death rock kind
Spanky's
of band.
Spanky's, Riverside, I remember.
Yeah, for sure. That place was awesome. That was like our home. We played there a few times. But
what was his name? Like, it's not... Who was the boss man there? He's cool people.
Oh, Ezot?
Ezot, yeah.
Yeah, he was really cool. Yeah, and he hooked us up with shows like The Shadow Project and Penal Colony and those kind of bands. So he did that for a while, and then that broke up. And then the guys went up to Prague and stuff. And they came back, and we tried to start it up again. And it was called it was called Absinthe Party. And they came up with the Absinthe part. I came up with the party part, you know. And then that broke up. And being a party is kind of an offshoot of that. So it kind of became just like a side recording project kind of thing for me back in like 1995. But I could never find anyone else. Like, I don't know. But it just kind of became my main thing on accident. You know what I mean? But it started as a recording project, in between other things it was the intention of doing, like back in the mid 90s. So.
Understood. But it becomes a working band when Jenner comes aboard, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I kept trying to do it with other drummers, man. And Seattle's real competitive, man. If I had to get a drummer, and they'd be great, great fucking drummers. And they'd make more money playing in a cover band than they could with me. You know what I mean?
But Michael, why didn't you look in Olympia? Why'd you go to Seattle?
At first, we moved to Seattle because we're in California. You know what I mean? So first we moved to Seattle area. Well, Seattle adjacent. You know, we were down in Auburn, Washington. It was a little bit less expensive there. So,
a little bit.
So from there we moved down to Lacey or Olympia adjacent because that's that was less expensive.
I just know there was a buttload of bands. Kill Rock Stars was in Olympia.
Yeah.
Kay was in Olympia.
Yeah. We saw you playing Olympia at the Capitol Theater one
That's
time.
Right. Me and Kay did a dose gig there for Lady Fest.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I wish I would have seen that. That's awesome.
With Cat
awesome.
Power. With Cat Power. Yeah, it was a great gig. Kay played in pajamas. But you guys don't stay in Olympia.
No. After Olympia, well, our big plan was eventually to try to get back to California, Arizona. But it's hard to do that. So we figured as a midway point, we stopped in Boise, Idaho for a while. So we go from Olympia down to Boise. And Boise, we played around a bit, and we're actually doing pretty well. And then we got in a real bad car accident, kind of slowed us down.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so.
You know what?
And then after that, nothing to do with you. What's that?
It's nothing to do with what happened to you, in a way, but I've noticed a lot of people are driving like assholes these days.
Yeah.
No, that kind of behavior has consequences. When I hear about a music cat getting hurt on the road, I want to fucking strangle these motherfuckers. No, because getting on the road with other people, that's a public trust. We got to trust each other. Not to get all weirded out, but when you told me that, that scared me. D-Boom was killed on the road, you know. I was almost killed rolled the boat between Utah and Wyoming there, not too far from Boise and that stuff. I don't
know. Yeah, holy shit.
So what happens after the, did it take time to recover from the car wreck?
Yeah, what happened? I got a concussion or a TBI, they call it, you know, and Jenner got her arm all messed up, her left shoulder. So, so we couldn't play for a while and you know what I mean? And all that.
Yeah.
And then it was in Idaho. So we just continued with the plan and moved down to Arizona. And that's why I moved to the middle of nowhere here in Coolidge, because we didn't want to be around any more cars or traffic.
I want to play Worlds Is So Absurd.
Oh, right on. Cool. Thanks, man.
Whoa! Thank you. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro shows. That chunk of music started off with Beatnik Party doing World Is So Absurd. Then our Al Margolis with oboe and trumpet duo. After that, Victor Timofeev out of the Ukraine with Omna. And finally, Roman, parentheses, Catholic, Candles for Beatnik Party. Michael, Jenner, let me ask you. The way this got connected was Brother Bruce Duff. So when do you meet him?
It happened back in the 90s when I first started doing this thing as a side project. It was really just me putting a bass on. I had a dual cassette deck, and I figured out if you recorded the bass on one cassette and then played it on, and then played it recorded on the other cassette, you record vocals over the bass. And so then I started doing the drums on one tape, and then the bass. Anyway, so I got it to where it was spoken word thing with just some hand drums and the bass and the voice. And at that point in time, I was calling around places, and I called XXX, and that's when I first spoke to Bruce on the phone. He won't remember, though. And I pitched him like a gothic sort of spoken word project, and he said, "That's a great idea, Michael. I thought that'd do really well," because he just tried to do something like that with I guess it turned out to be Roslyn, which was funny. But he's really...
You know what? If I recall correctly, Bruce is from Riverside.
Yeah, he is. Yes, for sure. So that's when I first met him, and then later on with the age of the internet and all that, we became like Facebook friends and all that jazz. And he's a great bass player, man, and he's been so supportive of us. He's been really supportive of the project. So I can't thank Bruce enough that he's nice enough to work with us and make us sound good. So we appreciate it.
You know, I was reading on your site, and like you call him your producer.
Yeah, he's our producer. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But also, I saw another name I recognized. Paul Rossler.
Yes.
He's an old buddy of mine. He's Kay's brother.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's great.
We had a band together called Criminy, where the first time I really played with a piano player. Great.
Wow.
Incredible musician, but then he became an engineer and producer, right?
Yeah.
So does he?
Yeah, he's great.
Does he record you also?
Yeah. What happened was in 2019, we actually went down to Kenton Robot.
Downtown LA, right?
Yeah.
Josie Cotton.
Yeah, right. Josie Studios. So Paul was the engineer on those sessions, and Bruce was the producer.
I understand.
Yeah, and we would have went and worked with Paul again, but this whole world shut down. So we've been trying to stay in the game at least a little bit by recording like a song or two here and there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Music's a lifeline.
Yeah.
Right? And there's ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta like improvise, but you can make it happen. So
sure.
I was just curious about that. So now I understand how Bruce and Paul fits in with the Beatnik Party.
Yeah. Bruce is awesome, man.
These guys are kind of the men behind the curtain when it comes to recording. But do you still do that double cassette stuff?
No. What happened was I got like a computer, and then I switched to recording on the computer.
But you still do home. But what are they, more like the demos now that you bring to those guys?
Oh, no, that's what I was doing. Yeah. No, now I have all, since the pandemic happened, I got it all set up.
I understand.
Yeah, I can record now on Pro Tools or whatever in my home computer. But back then I had like this little shady kind of like, you know, nothing computer.
You gotta learn somehow.
For sure.
I think what you did was fucking bitching, Michael. We're at the end of the second hour. August 7th, 2021, Dish Watt for Pedro Show special guest, Beatnik Party. Hold tight for hour three. August 7th, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Jewel, gotta pay the devil. when I'm not allowed to speak. The sun to Al at one point sounds just like gold. And I'm not allowed to know. Step by step, I'll follow you where you go. Bed sheets float around the house. The elephant scares the mouse. I'll say, I'm gonna say.
Wofford Pedro Show. We started the third hour off with Beatnik Party doing Ballad of Tom Mix. Then we had Babes New York City with Everyone's Little Punk Rock Dreams from Netherlands. I Took Your Name. This is a live version of Talk is Cheap. Then the Plaster Men out of Ithaca, New York. Reprogram. Finally, Love Toy. Beatnik Party. So enlighten us to this Ballad of Tom Mix, Michael and Jenner.
Sure, yeah. Well, Tom Mix was old cowboy, the first cowboy star, really, in the movies. And I guess he was gambling down in Tucson, the story has it. And on his way back, he's coming through here off the old highway. And supposedly his winnings from his gambling, he ran off into a wash. He ran his car into a wash. And supposedly the winnings from his gambling were so big, and they're in his back seat and in the briefcase or whatever. It hit him in the head, and that's what conked him out and killed Tom Mix, supposedly.
God damn. It was the bones. It was that actual money.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Fuck, there's a weird kind of, you could make a little fable out of that, right?
Yeah. So we wrote a song about it. And
you guys actually,
you
did make a fable out of it. When you're composing, Michael, Jenner, do you guys come up with the words first or the music?
I always come up with the music first, usually. That one, for instance, we wrote in Tombstone, Arizona. I went down there to run a 5K, and that's why it's kind of a country western kind of thing. And it was funny. It's a long story, but that's a fun one. And we went down and recorded it in LA, and you know, the old Tom Mix house is in Laurel Canyon there. So that morning we had to go down, me and Jenna had to go down and drive by the house. Lady Gaga owns it now, I think, or did back then. And that way, because we couldn't record the song about Tom Mix's house without one seeing it.
Wow. Okay. It's probably a little different nowadays, but.
Yeah, for sure. But it was fun. So,
but it's still the same. You know, the Gower Gulch, right? That's where they filmed a lot of that shit.
Yeah. And Spawn Ranch, I think. And all
Spawn
that.
Spawn Ranch outside. But even in Hollywood, I mean, there was, they had guys riding horses and shit. It was called the Gower Gulch. I mean, we're talking 100 years ago, you know.
Right.
And probably Laurel Canyon was empty as shit in those days.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, real rural. In fact, some west part, not west, east parts of the valley are like that. They're real, like, what do you call it, Sun Valley and Shadow Hills. And, man, does it get pretty empty out there. I was there with the Are You a Cop guys. In fact, that's where I last saw Tony 19 from the Dills. So a lot of stuff is composed on the bass.
Oh yeah, everything is on the bass. I usually write. I have a little Fender acoustic. I usually write a lot of stuff on there, but sometimes I'll write on my Music Man, and usually it comes with the bass line, and then I'll have some silly words, which I probably should keep, but then I'll overthink it and add words, you know, like a dork.
But then
put the drums on.
Yeah, that's when Jenner brings in the drums. Have you ever done songs where Jenner was first?
Yeah, we have a couple like that.
Like, hey, I got a bitchin' beat. Why don't you put some fucking music to this?
Yeah. We got one song like that. It's kind of instrumental, and we haven't recorded it yet. But we really like it. Yeah,
the dun 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 dun. Did Pyramid Song start out with
the drums? Pyramid Song started out with the bass line, and then right, yeah, the drums too. Yeah.
Is that right?
So that was true.
You know, that's important stuff. You know, because there's an old bullshit superstition that drummers are idiots.
Nah.
No, I mean, truly, fuck that shit, man. And especially a rock and roll band. Jesus.
Oh, no, yeah.
How can
forget
you
about
the
it.
Drummer? Yeah, I can't handle that shit. Sorry, I don't mean to get all weird. I want to play this tune, She Got, She Go.
That's how low she goes.
got nowhere to hide. So I have to walk in the
Why for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Beatnik Party, She Got, She Go. The In the Abusements with Rock and Roll. Tim Wholehouse out of England with Utopia. Don't know where Abusements are from. I can't remember. Fucking idiot what. Nadja, that's out of Berlin. I know this. This is the purblind mix of One Sense Alone. Derek Moneypenny with his big piece, Unjust Intonation. This is part three. And then we had Beatnik Party, No Tomorrow. And she got this is like only a year old, right?
Yeah. We recorded that one during pandemic, yeah.
So it's during the situation. So this is not recorded by Paul Rossler or Bruce Duff. This is a Michael Henry.
Well, I engineered it, and then what happened was I engineered it, and I took all the tracks and sent them to Bruce.
So you record it, and then he went and produced it, mixed it. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Which
sure.
is another.
And that's how we got.
Which
that's
is
how
another, we got. I gotta tell the listeners out there, that's another benefit. You know, we don't have to use the internet just to spread lies and hate and bullshit. We can actually trade files and make some music. By the way. So, where can people find you guys on the internet?
You can find us at Bandcamp, Beatnik Party. We also have beatnikparty.net. It's the name of the website.
Yeah. Now, let me tell people. BEATNIKPARTY.net. N-E-T. People. That's their own personal website. They got all kinds of great information there. It's a great site. And then there's nobody to, like, tell you what to write. It's your site. Those other, now, I did the Bandcamps, right? Yesterday, they let people have percentage of the more... a bigger thing of the share. They're really good with the bands. And your music lives there, too. What's the next recording plan?
Well, we're real excited. I've been working on this song for a couple of years now. But at the end, there's this tag I added, which is kind of cool, but I can never figure it out. And that tag kind of became its own thing now. So now I can finally record both of those. So I'm real excited about that. In fact, I got some new pedals because I'm going to try and make it sound really cool, I think. You know how it is when you write something new, it's your favorite thing ever. I'm finally that excited about something that I just did, so I'm glad you asked it. Yeah,
I got to say, Michael, there's no better feeling when you get excited about music.
Yeah, right? So that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, can I ask, Jenna, are you still on the fucking cocktail set?
No, okay. I have a sound set now. I had an electric drum set for a tiny second but it was frustrating because I would hit the little pad and it wouldn't make the sound, and then it sounded like I was missing beat. So I got
the trigger. Done. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I finally have a normal kit. But
don't use that word. But just say traditional trap kit.
Yeah. Traditional.
You know what that word means? Where that word comes from? It's actually an abbreviation for contraption. Because invented that thing in New Orleans. It's only like 120 years old or something. Yeah, Larry Mullins was educating me about that. Can I ask you, Jenner, being in a band, what have you learned about music?
Ooh, that it's exhilarating to play. It's fun to listen to. And I'm all about it.
And what about you, Michael? No, that's great. Bitch it. What about you, Michael?
Ooh, well, I just started learning how to play music a couple months ago. So, no, you know, it's like yoga. You know, it's like you get out of it what you put into it. So, you know, it could be a great pastime or a hobby or your life. So it really is an art form, and it's very it's a very difficult discipline. You know.
Absolutely.
You really disciplined.
But you've been doing it for more than half your life.
Yeah, I started playing, when I was real young. So I've been playing over 30 years now. So that's the one thing that music has taught me, and I've learned that is if you do something for 20 minutes a day, every day, you can get pretty good at it, you know. So you're saying being consistent.
You know, John Coltrane was waiting to prac. He would prac after fucking gigs.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Bruce Lee says, what is it? Now that I was going to quote it, I'm not going to. Consistency trumps intensity every time. So as long as you're consistent, you don't have to be super intense about it. You know what I mean?
Actually, I think where he was coming from was be relaxed, because that's when you can really be ready. If you're too tense
stuff,
too,
yeah.
You can't be aware. You're too distracted, right?
That's the best when you start doing a run or something. You're not thinking the right note. That's fantastic. That's a great feeling right there.
Look, I want to thank both of you. When you get this new recording's done and stuff, and please come back on the show. I want to hear how you guys are doing.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks so
much. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us, Watt.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate you having us on the show. And
we got to thank Blue Stuff for the connect.
Yeah, right? He's the best.
Thank you so much, Brother Bruce. People, it's been the August 7th, 2021 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.